if you want to work in crypto, you just need to keep throwing yourself out there and getting involved, building things, even if they don't go anywhere, even if they just sit in your GitHub. That's like the best way that you can kind of get your name out there.
Welcome to the Blockchain Pro Podcast. I'm Adriana Balotti, and today I'm chatting to Harry Papachoricio about blockchain development, taking the time to switch gears between switching careers and creating cool prototypes for hackathons. Let's get to know Harry. This episode was recorded in Gadigal Land, where I live and work. I acknowledge their people's connection to the land and their traditions, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Hey, Harry.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. Very good.
Thanks for doing this today. Let's dive right in.
Yeah, sure.
How did you start your professional life?
That's a big question. Yeah. So I've always been into kind of tech and computers and things like that. So even from a young age, I first started like doing programming on like an old 286 when I was literally 10 or 11 years old, when I found some books at the library. So I was always into that kind of stuff. So I kind of knew during school that I wanted to do like something with computers as a career, right? So I got through high school and I did like a computer science degree after that for 3 years. And then I finished that in like 2004, I think, and straight away I started working. So I got a job at a local consultancy here in Adelaide doing just some like IT consulting development type work. And I eventually got a job at another consultancy firm after that that did ERP implementations and like big projects for retailers and people like that. So I started doing a lot of traveling as part of my work in IT consulting. So I worked on IT implementations in various, you know, places around Australia, in places like South Africa, Europe, and a few other places. So that was kind of fun to travel and continue to kind of do work. So a lot of the work I was doing was specific to integration type work. So designing interfaces, building them, testing them, all those types of things. And after that, I settled down, got a partner, et cetera, and came back to Adelaide. And we eventually moved to Sydney, I think, in 2015. And I worked as an IT consultant for the retailer here, David Jones. So I worked for them from 2015 onwards in Sydney. And yeah, after that, we came back to Adelaide in 2018 once we had our first child. And I've kind of been back here since. So that's kind of, I guess, the arc of how I started my career.
And at what point you woke up or found out about blockchain?
I first heard about Bitcoin in 2014, actually. I think it was 2014. But it was purely as like an investment thing. And I wasn't really into investing back then. And I had no idea about the underlying technology. So I kind of just, you know, dismissed it. I didn't even think about it twice. But then again, in early 2017, the crypto hype started to grow and came around again. And because some other friends were doing it, I kind of looked into Bitcoin and I bought my first Bitcoin back then, right? So, and I thought I was a genius. I was buying like 0.1 of a Bitcoin at $5,000 and selling the 0.1 at like 5,100. And I thought I was some investing genius or something. So I started looking at it back then, and then I saw this other thing called Ethereum, right? I was like, wow, what's this about? So I actually read up on it and I was like, wow, they've got these things called smart contracts. And I thought, whoa, this isn't just a distributed database anymore that tracks who has what. Like, it's an actual application platform. Like, you can actually do stuff on it. You can actually build programs on it that have logic that can change the outcomes of events and agreements and do all those types of things. Once I saw that, I started looking more at the technology behind Ethereum and some of the other smart contract platforms around at the time. And I slowly started to realize and understand the huge possibilities that this technology had and how it could kind of impact the world and the way that a lot of agreements and the way that a lot of systems work like today, right? So it was probably around in 2018 when I decided I eventually wanted to transition away from my current job in consulting to a full-time job in blockchain crypto. So that was my kind of long-term goal. I'm like, all right, I'm doing this now. I want to get to a stage where I can do this full-time, right? So from then on, I decided to kind of start educating myself, playing around with things at home, creating projects, tinkering with things. I did a blockchain developer course as well, part-time, over the course of about 6 months with these guys called Kingsland University, which was really good. It kind of forced me to kind of really dedicate time to focus about learning about the technicals of blockchain development and Ethereum and all those types of things. So, yeah, that's kind of how I really first started to notice crypto and first decided that it was something that I wanted to do.
How much did the course that you do influence your transition? Because it can be very, I want to say daunting, but that's not really the word I'm looking for. But I think everybody would get the point. It can be daunting when you're coming into a new space and there's so much information. Where do you really start, right? And back then it was just Ethereum. Now there's many blockchains. So how much does the course help your transition?
It helped a lot, actually, not just in the content itself, but when you pay for a resource or for something as well, it kind of helps you to motivate yourself to dedicate the time and effort. Whereas if I had just continued to learn about Ethereum and things like that at my own pace, playing around at home at nights, I may not have dedicated as much time and effort doing it that way. So other than just having really good content and giving you a really good solid foundation of how this stuff works, I found that forcing yourself to do a course like that, that's very structured, that is not a free course, and that has a good reputation, really helped me to kind of motivate myself and get to that point that I wanted to be at in terms of technical knowledge and capabilities.
And how long between doing the course and actually achieving your goal of working full-time in the space?
Probably a couple years, I'd say, maybe a year and a half. After I finished the course, I guess my transition into crypto didn't quite go as planned initially, right? So it kind of got off to a bit of a shaky start. So coming from the consulting world, right, I thought, well, I'll just be a blockchain consultant, right? So back then, private blockchains were all the rage. You know, you had IBM doing all these proof of concepts and Hyperledger was this big, massive thing. So I thought, I'll do consulting now. It makes sense that I'll do blockchain consulting and I'll consult for enterprises kind of implementing this kind of technology, right? So I thought I'll register a business for myself and start looking at doing that. But I kind of found it hard to get in at a lot of places, because back then a lot of the big consultancy firms had a fair stranglehold on a lot of enterprise type blockchain work going on at the time. So I did a couple of small educational things and an RFP or two for certain government sectors and private sector things, but nothing really eventuated that was really concrete. So I basically continued to work in my main job and continue to look to how I can transition to kind of the blockchain or crypto space. And I reckon there was one incident that kind of really woke me up and got me to like a point where I needed to try something different. So basically, I was negotiating with another company to submit a joint RFP for something. And as part of the process, they asked me to share my GitHub link so they could take a look, do their due diligence and work out this guy that we want to do stuff with, he knows his stuff, right? So I shared it and they took a look at it and they're like, it's not really up to scratch. So sorry, we're not going to be involved with you going forward. So I was like shocked. I was bummed out because I was like, no, I know that I'm good enough. I know that I have the capabilities. I took a look at my GitHub and I did understand how it wasn't really, I didn't really put much effort into it and it needed some work, but I knew that it wasn't reflective of my capabilities and skills. So from that point on, I was like, well, I need to make sure my GitHub is up to scratch, because it looks like in this industry and in just in development in general, it kind of acts as like a CV for you as a developer. Like if this shows what you're capable of, this shows what you've done, this shows what you can do, right? So I wasn't used to that from the kind of consulting world where everything's kind of not open like that. So that was a big kind of shock for me. I thought, okay, if I need to do that, then I'll start getting involved in hackathons, right? So hackathons, I understood, are a great way to get involved in the communities, to kind of showcase what you're capable of and build up like a really good portfolio and repository of projects. So I started participating in various hackathons, most of them virtual. All of them in the crypto space, some of them big, some of them small. And I started winning some prizes. So this was in like 2019, early 2020 maybe. And some of them weren't like top first place prizes. Some of them were low tier ones. But the important thing is I was participating, I was getting something in return, And I was growing my GitHub and kind of building up a portfolio of projects that show that when I talk about things, I kind of know what I'm saying. And it was at that point when I'd been following the project Chainlink for a while, probably since it came out in 2017. I saw that they had the notion of being like a blockchain middleware layer. As someone who had worked in integration for their whole career, it kind of made sense to me. So I entered one of their hackathons in 2020, I think, early 2020. And it wasn't a big one. I think it was run through Gitcoin. And I won first prize in that one, right? So I built this thing called Link Gas Station, I called it, which basically is meta transactions for using Chainlink. So Chainlink has a token that you need to use for its services. And I built something which kind of abstracts away that the token as well as the Ethereum token or cryptocurrency so that you can use the services and run smart contracts and things without having to pay any gas fees or Link tokens. And then you can basically get an invoice sent to you at the end of the month that tracks how much Ethereum and then Link was spent, right? So I won first prize in that and I was like, wow, this is awesome. Maybe I can just keep entering hackathons and getting like a side income from like just, you know, entering hackathons.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. So after I won that, the Chainlink Labs team, so Chainlink Labs is the team that builds Chainlink, they approached me and they basically said, you know, we've seen you write some really cool articles on Medium about blockchain and crypto and Chainlink. We saw you won our last hackathon. How would you feel about joining our content team and writing some technical blog posts with the content team? And for me, that was like, I thought, well, this could be like an inroad into having a full-time job with a legitimate Web3 company. So I took it straight away. However, I still had obligations with David Jones at the time, who I was contracting to. So I committed to doing 1 or 2 days a week to Chainlink, and I was writing technical blog posts for them. This was in 2020, and as time went on, they ran another hackathon, and this was a really big one. It was a virtual one, and I had a really cool idea for it. So I thought, I'm going to enter one more hackathon here. I got a really cool idea that I want to build this thing with like a Tesla and a smart contract, and I created this thing called Link My Ride.
Like the actual Tesla car?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go to YouTube and search up for Link My Ride, or I'll send you the link later, you'll see it. So basically, what my hackathon submission there was is we created a platform where someone who owns a Tesla can rent it out to someone else for a specific set of amount of time, and a smart contract handles everything. So it takes a payment, it takes a bond. When the person gets to the Tesla where it's parked and they say, all right, I'm here now on the app, the Tesla will automate, the smart contract will unlock the Tesla, it'll automatically start it, and then the person can drive, get their coffee, do whatever they're going to do. And then when they return the Tesla, their smart contract calculates, has it been returned in the correct spot? How much mileage did they do? Did they do anything malicious? Did they? And it basically just tracks all these things and then calculates what a final payment needs to be, how much of the bond needs to be returned, or how much needs to be paid to the person that owns a Tesla. So it was just a really cool idea that showcases the power of what a smart contract can do once it's connected to external events and inputs. So it used Chainlink and it used the Tesla API, which can connect to a Tesla vehicle. So I created that in 20 days. I got a guy to help me with the front end, who was a front end guru. And so we won first prize in that hackathon as well. And I think there was about 350 developers that submitted over 100 projects in that one. So that was a pretty big achievement for me.
That sounds like a cool project. How did you test it?
We got a Tesla. So in the video, you'll see us in a parking lot doing a live demo. And it's a funny story about that because it's really hard to get someone to lend you their Tesla for like a crypto hackathon project. So I was literally asking around in Reddits and Discords and stuff saying, hey, does anyone have a Tesla here in Adelaide that they want to help me with this project? If we win anything, I'll give you a third of the winnings. And I was very lucky in that the president of the local Tesla club here in SA is into technology and stuff, and he was into helping us. So he was happy to donate his car and come out and do the demo with us. So yeah, so we did a demo in the car park of him renting his car out to me for a couple of hours or something, and we recorded it.
That sounds like fun. Guys, the link will be in the description for that for sure.
Yeah, definitely check it out. So yeah, we won first prize in that hackathon and everyone was kind of blown away by it because something like that hadn't really been done before. And it just kind of showcased what smart contracts can do, I think, which was really cool. I think even the co-founder of Chainlink, Sergey Nazarov, even mentioned the hackathon in the Lex Fridman podcast that he did, which was pretty cool. So after that, I was still working at David Jones most of my time, and Chainlink approached me again and said, hey, how would you feel about joining our DevRel team full time? I thought about it for a little bit and I decided that, you know, this was my chance to work in crypto full time. Chainlink was a player in the space that I thought was going to be around forever because they solve a pretty important problem in the space. So I decided to then join full time in the crypto space, and I've never looked back since.
Yes, achievement unlocked.
That's right.
Amazing. I mean, that goes to show that persistence, education, collaboration are things that you need in order to achieve any goal, right? And working in crypto is a pretty fun, practical goal of many people right now.
Correct. Yeah. And I've told this story a few times before, and because there's a lot of people just starting in the space, and I just say that if you want to work in crypto, you just need to keep throwing yourself out there and getting involved, building things, even if they don't go anywhere, even if they just sit in your GitHub, get involved in the Discord, get involved in communities, get involved in GitHub discussions about technical issues and proposals and governments discussions and things like that. That's like the best way that you can kind of get your name out there. Because as now that I work for Chainlink Labs, like we run hackathons and stuff, like one of the top ways in which we recruit people is through hackathons themselves. So they're a great place to find talent, actually.
They are indeed. I love hackathons myself. I usually am on the organizing teams of hackathons, and I love the energy of getting a whole bunch of builders and people who are just curious about how, you know, this space works into a room and have them work together. Sometimes people don't have technical skills, but you can contribute with other skills as well, right? Your first offer was to write content, for example.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. So with hackathons, you don't need to be a developer, because generally hackathons have a few parts to them. You need to present your submission in the form of a video, right? So you can be a video editor. You can even be someone who demos it and talks if you're a good presenter. You can do graphic design. Like we got a graphic design guy to build like a logo for us and stuff. So there's various roles you can kind of take on in these hackathon teams. And you're right, the energy is just like amazing, especially if you can get to one in person.
Yes, I love the in-persons as well, a little bit more than the onlines, but they all serve a purpose.
Yeah, that's right, 100%.
So now you're working full-time in crypto. Tell us a little bit more about Chainlink and the awesome work that they do, and how's it going for you?
Chainlink is a decentralized Oracle network. So basically what that means is blockchains themselves, by nature, they can't reach out and talk to external systems or events, right? Because they're very deterministic in nature. Every node in the blockchain network needs to be 100% in sync with every other node, right? So if you had to reach out to a Tesla to say unlock a vehicle or something, like, you know, what happens if some of the nodes can't reach out and do that? Or what happens if, you know, some nodes, they get a timeout? So all of the nodes are no longer in sync. They no longer have that determinism. That's where the concept of an oracle comes in. So basically an oracle is any device or system that provides connectivity from a blockchain to an off-chain resource. And a decentralized oracle network is basically taking a number of oracle nodes, if you will, and decentralizing that off-chain event or computation, right? So you extend the security and trust minimization properties that are there on a blockchain out to the Oracle layer too. So the data source or data delivery layer as well, if you will. So that's what Chainlink does. And that's what they are. In terms of what they do is they utilize this decentralized Oracle network to basically provide a bunch of decentralized services for smart contracts on blockchains, right? So probably the most popular thing is price feeds. So there's a number of decentralized Oracle network price feeds that power probably the majority of DeFi today, right? So if you have Ethereum locked up in a DeFi protocol dealing with lending and borrowing, et cetera, you need to know what the price of Ethereum is, right? So that's a kind of really important factor for DeFi. So this is where price feeds come into play. Another really popular decentralized service that Chainlink offers is randomness, and this has been growing exponentially. So once again, blockchains are deterministic, so they can't... If you have a blockchain game, or if you're doing an NFT mint or something, you can't get a proper source of randomness from on-chain. You need to kind of do it off-chain, and you need to do it in a verifiable way where the smart contract can know that it wasn't some malicious actor giving you a specific random number, because they're going to exploit your contract after that. So we have a solution called VRF that's very popular for blockchain games, very popular for NFT mints to provide fair, random NFT mints, etc. Yeah, so that's very popular as well. We also have a couple more services. There's a new one called Keepers, which is basically off-chain compute, and that's becoming more and more popular. So what that means is, as I explained before, blockchains are, you know, decentralized, highly secure. The decentralized Oracle networks are the same. However, in a lot of scenarios, you kind of need to execute functions and do off-chain computation. But a lot of the time, people just have their own services or their own processes off-chain that call the on-chain functions. So if you can imagine, if there's an insurance smart contract that checks the weather in Sydney every day to decide whether it should pay out some kind of insurance payout, that function that checks the weather, who's calling that function? Is it a manual process? Is it a user? Is he calling it every day by pressing a button? Is it a process? It's not very decentralized if you have a process sitting on a server somewhere or on a cloud server, just, you know, calling your smart contract every day. So this is where you can use something called a keeper network to do that, where there's a decentralized network of oracles that take on that work and commit to calling that function every day at a specific time. So that's an example of keepers.
So does that mean that Chainlink Oracle Network connect with other Oracle networks?
Chainlink provides connectivity to anything off-chain, whether it's an Oracle network, whether it's an enterprise database, whether it's an ERP system. It can literally connect to anything with its tools and features. So you can build these things called external adapters that basically allow you to customize a connection to anything you want.
Cool. And that, so that means that you connect off-chain data to any blockchain?
Yes. It's a bit trickier than that because we need to have an integration on that blockchain first. So right now, I think we're live on maybe a dozen chains or more, and we have plans to be live on all the chains. Like, we're chain agnostic. However, until we have an integration for a specific chain, they can't just straight up use Chainlink to kind of get some external data.
All right. I'm going to find the list of the chains that can be connected at this time, and I will add that to the description as well.
Yeah, sure. Or I can send them to you.
Oh, thank you. All right. So here we are at the quick three. What book are you currently reading?
This is a very boring answer. So I'm currently reading a book called Rust Fast Safe Systems Development. So it's all about the Rust programming language.
Why do you think that's boring?
Well, I guess it's kind of related to work a little bit, and just it's not some kind of like sci-fi novel or some, you know, other type of book.
We all have to keep informed, Harry.
Yeah, that's right.
what languages do you program in, and what are the best ones for blockchain developers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I first came into the space, I was like a very much like a Java type person. However, if you come into blockchain development, the majority of people will learn Solidity, or they'll say to learn Solidity, because Solidity is the most popular smart contract programming language in the space right now. So I'd probably say that initially. However, I'm becoming more and more interested in the Solana ecosystem as like an alternative layer one to Ethereum and some of the other EVM chains. And I kind of think that Rust might start to become more and more prevalent in the system. So I'd probably say Solidity, and then as like a second option, Rust, because Rust is also used on some other chains like Terra as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I think there are some Ethereum clients that are built using Rust as well, from memory.
Yes. Yeah, there definitely is. Definitely. But in terms of smart contract programming language, Solidity is definitely the main player in the space.
I will suggest that you try out Reach, which is the Algorand one.
Oh, yeah, Reach.
I will send you a link to. I hear it's very similar to JavaScript. So if you've been a JavaScript developer beforehand, it's easier to pick it up.
Ah, cool. I'll have to note that down.
Anyways, moving on. What is your favorite crypto resource?
Great question. So for me, I'm very much into DeFi. Like, I know a lot of people like NFTs and, you know, various other things. So for me, it's always been DeFi. And I always like to keep up on, like, there's always exploits happening and rug pulls and things like that. So I always like to keep up with the news in DeFi, especially if it's like security-focused news. So for that reason, probably my favorite is Rekt. So it's rekt.news. So they basically report on security incidents that occur, and they kind of literally walk through the code and stuff and explain how someone was able to like get 600 million from this cross-chain bridge or something.
That is a great resource indeed. And what's your favorite project?
I'd probably have to say Chainlink, not just because I work for Chainlink Labs, but yeah, ever since I was following them in 2017, I understood the problem that they were claiming to solve and it made sense to me. And it's becoming more and more prevalent that they're becoming a key player in the space for providing these decentralized services in the form of, you know, off-chain connectivity, price feeds, randomness, off-chain compute, like to not just Ethereum, but to any chain that needs it. So I'd probably have to pick them. But if I had to pick another minor choice, I'd probably say Solana as like a layer one, because the more and more I look into it, I'm kind of liking what I see in terms of how it's designed and the architecture and how they try and basically build a blockchain in a different way to an EVM chain to get it to kind of scale at mass. So I'm becoming more and more interested in that one as well.
Sounds good. And I forgot to talk about that. So briefly, you are now also member of the Blockchain Australia board. How has that journey been for you? And, you know, what are some of the things that you would like to achieve in that role?
Yes, I joined the board at the end of last year. So I was very happy to be voted on there and to be able to work with yourself and Steve and all of the other great people on the board there. And yeah, it's been amazing. So ever since I've been in the space, I've obviously been advocating for blockchain technology. I go to lots of conferences and events as part of my work with Chainlink to advocate for Chainlink as well as just Web3 in general. So it kind of made sense that I tried to kind of do what I can to help push the ecosystem forward in our country, right? So I decided to apply for a position and I was lucky enough to get it. In terms of what I'd like to achieve, it'd be great if I can obviously get out to a few more events throughout this year to kind of meet with some of the people and converse and network, as well as it would be great if I could run some event myself as part of my time here to kind of help developers onboard into Web3. So that's something I'll try and maybe chat to the group about later in the year. But yeah, I'd love to run some kind of event or something to kind of just teach developers the basics of blockchain development and kind of help onboard some of the developers in this space in Australia in person would be amazing.
That sounds like a great goal. And if it comes up for voting, I will vote yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, we got here at the end. How can people find you? When is the next hackathon? What's happening next?
So you can find me on LinkedIn if you search for Harry Papakrisiou. I'm on Twitter as well. My profile is Papas9999, so P-A-P-P-A-S 9999. It's a funny one, I know. Chainlink is actually running a hackathon right now. So it just started. If you go to hack.chain.link, we're taking registrations still. We've got quite a few thousand registrations. There's like over 400K in prizes. You should definitely join, even if you're new to Web3, even if you don't know how to do anything. It's a great entry point into hackathons. You can team up with other people. You get to learn a lot and it just, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So highly recommend you going to hack.chain.link and joining the fun.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're not going to win this one this time, right? You're going to leave the opportunity to some other people.
No. Unfortunately, I don't have time to enter these things anymore. I'm at 250% capacity with my work and private life now, so.
Yes, understandable. All right. Thank you so much, Harry.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And that was Harry Papakrisiou. To connect with Harry, follow the links in the description and make sure you watch the Link My Ride video we discussed. It's also there for you and it's a cracker. Whether you are a developer or not, I recommend it. And get in touch with Harry if you have questions or comments. I'm sure he'll be glad to chat about it. All right, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, hope you are having fun. I'm off to Brazil and I will see you on the next block. Bye.